welcome back everybody to Clean Old Fashioned Hate. This is episode 5. We've been gone for a week or two, trying to let some headlines build up here, see if we can get in a new little format where we're having a little bit more discussion and not so much just chopping through the headlines each day. So with that said, we'll run through a couple of recent headlines that we'll get into some more depth in just a minute as we move through the topics. But just to go over what's happened since we've talked last, let's see, the Hawks and Coach Bud have parted ways. Got a pretty heavy coach search going on right now. We've got 5 or 6 guys that I think have either had interviews or are lined up for interviews. We'll get some reaction on that in a minute. The Braves doing what they do right now. They're playing well. They've got up into second place in the NL East. We got a 16-11 record. I think we start with the Mets tonight. Yep. Today's Tuesday, 1st of May. So we start a Mets series tonight up in New York. United continues to play well. They continue their unbeaten streak. I think that's 6 or 7 games now. We haven't lost since the opening game. We've only had 1 draw. Everything else has been a win. Football's in the air finally. We got the NFL draft that's been here. We got UGA and Georgia Tech wrapping up their spring games. The NBA and NHL not paying a whole lot of attention to what's going on right there right now, but they're in the second round of the playoffs in both of those. The draft one more time. We got 7 Bulldogs that were drafted throughout. We got 4 or 5 of them that have been picked up as free agents since the draft ended. And the Jackets, although they didn't have anybody drafted this year, they do have about 7 players that are talking to teams, have either been signed to rookie free agent deals or have signed a deal to go to rookie mini camp and see if they can get a position there.
I really going into the draft didn't think that they would. I was the only person I thought that might would be Ricky June, and apparently he signed a free agent contract with the Los Angeles Rams.
That's kind of cool. He'll be out there running with Gurley.
It is what it is.
Ricky. None of y'all's guys are even invited to the combine, right?
No, we didn't have anybody. You know, there was our center, and his name escapes me right now. I think he'll get picked.
Freddie Burton.
Freddie Burton, yeah. I think he'll make it with a team. Ricky June, I think, will make it a team. I've heard a lot of good stuff
about so Ricky, Antonio Sims, and your safety, Corey Griffin, they've all actually been picked up at this point. They've signed free agent deals. So they've made it with the team. You know, and then, of course, they got to get through.
They got to make it.
They got to get through mini camp and make the team, but they actually signed deals. Now y'all got some other guys, the Austin brothers, your defensive backs, the twins. It looks like they might actually be in the Falcons mini camp. So it looks like the Austin brothers are going to go to the rookie mini camp for the Falcons, see if they can get into the main mini camp and see about making that. What is it, 53-man roster?
53-man roster. That's right.
So we'll hit the draft a little harder at the end of this. I just want to run through some of the other stuff in Atlanta real quick, since the draft's the big thing on the table right now. We'll hit that up in a second. But the Hawks, any reaction to Coach Bud being gone?
Initial reaction was, I think it's a good thing. I don't think he wanted to be here. I don't think he wanted to rebuild. I think he wanted to continue to go with what he had and add pieces to it. I like the I think the rebuilding thing is going to be a good thing. So if he didn't want to be here, he needs to go.
Before Travis Schlink, he was what, head coach and GM kind of. He had that double title.
He lost part of his title.
Travis came in, they took that away from him. You know, one thing that I think where they messed up, and probably caused a little bit of issue between Schlink and Coach Bud, was they took away half of his title, the general manager duties, but they didn't reduce his pay at all. You know, so he was being paid a whole lot more than he probably should have this year as just a head coach without the additional responsibilities that he had. And, it's pretty unusual that you see a general manager come in and keep the coach. They usually want to go their route and prove that they're right and that they can, you know, they can do it better. Schlink has a pretty good record here of coaches that he likes to go with, and I don't think Coach Bud really fits that mold. Schlink's usually looking for a young guy, an ex-player, somebody that has had some assistant coaching experience or is a scout or something like that. He's usually looking for people that don't have a whole lot of head coaching experience, if any, but they're ex-players, they're good, they deal well with the young guys. He's looking for somebody that's going to build relationships with the players and stuff. He kind of does things a little bit different, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I think about it. I think Coach Bud was a great piece for Atlanta. You know, he took us to our best regular season win total in Hawks history. You know, he did a lot with the guys that he had, and like you mentioned, I don't think Bud had any interest in being a part of a intentionally losing team.
Right. And I think that showed down the stretch of the season. Not that I want him to win in tanking games, but I don't think it was his idea to try to get the worst record. I think he won more games than he needed to, but you know, hey, these guys practice to win, so you can't ask them just to tank. So, again, I don't think he wanted anything to do with that. I think I agree with him. I'd go for a young, up and coming coach. I think we need new blood, young blood, and I think the people that they're looking at, there's several.
Yeah, I mean, there's
know nothing but, about, but there's several I've heard of, and I think they'd be good. Good choices for the Hawks, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Schlink is, you know, if you look at his past decisions, he seems to make some pretty good decisions for the teams he's been with. So,
I've been impressed with what he's done with the team so far, and he's only been here for a short time, but I think he's got the right idea and he's going the way that ownership wants to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ownership's a whole other story with the Hawks, but that's something we can get into later. Through that list of head coach candidates, did any of these guys mean anything to you? Looks like we've had interviews now with Jaron Collins. He is the twin brother of Jason Collins, who was a Hawks player for a little while. I got David Fizdale, who's had an interview. It looks like somebody named Nate Tibbetts. Darvin Ham and Steven Silas are some of the top candidates that we've got here. I don't really know anything much about any of them besides what I've read up on them. A good bit of connections with the Warriors. There's a connection with Mike Woodson's team here in Atlanta. David Fizdale was a assistant coach under Woodson. And Darvin Ham is the one guy that I know the name of. He has been with us for a few years. He's been an assistant coach under Coach Bud. He was kind of the lead assistant coach the past 2 years.
Right.
He's been a part of the organization. He knows the players and knows the team, so he might be interesting. I don't know how much Slink's really looking at him or not, if he's trying to bring somebody totally outside the organization.
Well, I know, like you, I know names. I do know a little bit about Darvin Ham from being here for the past 5 seasons. I really don't think any of them would have a heads up on any of the other choices. But, I'd like for somebody to be young and upcoming, not a retread, not somebody that's been around the NBA, because I just don't think that's what we need right now.
Yeah, Jaron Collins, he seems like, if I had to guess, the guy that fits the mold the best for Schlink.
Right.
He's a younger guy. He was drafted in 01 for the Jazz. He was 10 seasons in the NBA. He scouted for the Clippers for a little while, and then he's been on the Warriors staff for a few years, so he was a guy that worked with Schlink out in Golden State on the Warriors. He was a developmental coach out there, and then he was promoted to an assistant coach. like I said, his twin brother, I think, is still in the league, Jason Collins. So he kind of fits that mold of the ex-player, young, probably can build some pretty good relationships with the guys on the team.
Because our team is going to be so young, age-wise and NBA experience-wise, I think somebody that can relate to him would be a good, you know, age-wise and everything, that would be a good thing.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. I do as well. So, we'll keep an eye on the coaching search, see what happens, see if anything interesting pops up or if any other names show up. It's going to be hard to tell until we get started.
I think they should have a coach in place by the time I would hope by the end of the playoffs.
By the end of the playoffs. I mean, you can't imagine going into the draft lottery without a head coach in place. That would be a little silly.
That's kind of where I was going with this was, you know, I think they need to have a staff in place by the time the draft comes along.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
for
the sake of the franchise, I hope we have a coach in place.
We'll
keep an eye on the draft as well. We're still waiting for the lottery, see where we fall, what picks we get. I think we've talked before on here. We've got, three first-round picks. At least one of those should be in the top five.
I think we're sitting okay. You know, if we don't get the top pick, I think there's plenty of talent out there. And we need talent. It doesn't matter if it's a strong forward, power forward, you know, point guard, shooting guard, whatever. This is a good draft. There's plenty of talent out there.
Well, the Hawks are rebuilding their stadium from the inside out. So, maybe they'll put together a nice team to go with the new pretty design they're trying to put out there. They've got all kinds of crazy stuff they're putting inside that stadium now. There's a courtside barbershop or something, a courtside bar. There's what else are they putting in there? I think they're trying to kind of follow the Mercedes-Benz thing where you've got some big open areas where fans can stand and watch the game without having to be in their seats. It sounds interesting. It's supposed to be state-of-the-art, so it'll be cool to get down there and at least see Phillips Arena once that's done.
I can't wait to go to a game next year.
Yeah. All right, well, Hawks, Braves. How about them Braves? And they've been appointment. It's been a while since it's been appointment television for me to sit down and watch the Braves, but I try not to miss a game right now. They're a lot of fun to watch. We're young. Our offense is popping, you know. We finally brought up Acuña, who everybody was watching play in the minors and talking about how he was struggling. He was batting, in the 150 area. It wasn't doing well down in Gwinnett. He comes up and he's been up for less than a week now, but he's hitting 420 right now, I think. Before this weekend, he was somewhere floating around 450, 460. He got a hit in his first game. Mm-hmm. He got a home run in his second game. He's stolen his first base. He's doing it.
I am, as I said earlier when we started talking, I said I've become, I guess I'm a bandwagon Braves fan. I've always kept a minimal interest in them, because they weren't very interesting. And this year I have been, like you, I've checked the stats, I watched the games. I've been very impressed with what they put together. The only place I still think they need help is starting pitching, you know.
The starting pitching is in dire need, I think.
Davich has been better than I expected. Tehran, I don't think he's what they think he is, you know.
No, I mean, he's been better, he's certainly not the ace that he's on the staff to be. And I don't know that we have an ace on the staff yet. I know that we've got a lot of these young guys. You know, we brought up a lot of the defensive young guys that can swing the bat, but we haven't seen any of these young pitchers come up yet.
Brian McCarthy. Who would have thought at the beginning of the season or at the end of spring training, Brian McCarthy, that pitcher that not very many people have heard anything about, was 4-0 in the month of April.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that type of stuff.
It's time to start letting our young prospects, you know, show us what they got.
See what they can do.
It'll be interesting. You know, our offense is killing it right now, but I don't know how long our offense can win us games if our pitching can't keep the score down. You know, I mean, we've had some good outings where, you know, we beat the Phillies, the other day, 10-1. You know, I mean, we've had some good outings. We've had some good games. Every once in a while, we get a starter that'll go deep into a game, but usually we're pulling a starter in, the fourth, fifth inning. We're having to run through our relief pitching, and our relief pitching's not a whole lot better than our starting pitching right now.
I think our closers, there's a couple we use, are okay, but the middle relief, oh my lord,
it's terrible.
They're scary.
I could be wrong here, but I believe we're 16-11.
Yep.
We've won 16 games. I think that we've only had one or two games where we've actually had a save situation.
Yeah.
You know, most of our games have been won by so many that it wasn't a save. You know, in the games where it is close enough that we need a save, we end up losing because our relief pitching can't get it done either. So we're really counting on scoring 7, 8, 9, 10 runs a game in order to get up on somebody and just make it almost impossible for them to come back, which is not the way to do it. It's done well for us the first quarter of the season.
I mean, you bring them in, and you're not getting much out of any of them. You know,
right.
They all seem to get in trouble, and like you say, if the offense can't continue this, we're not going to win many games because the offense is winning it for us right now.
Right. Speaking of the offense, we had a little shakeup the other day. Ender Inciarte was not doing so well in the offense, so they dropped him out of the leadoff down to the ninth hole, and they put Albies up. And, of course, what does Albies do? He walks in, and then he takes a leadoff home run. First pitch, first at bat of his time in the leadoff spot. And the first pitch he sees, he knocks it out of the park. Albies, he's just amazing. He just he also just broke the month of April record for extra base hits. He beat out Dale Murphy, Chipper, Justin Upton. They all had, I think they were all tied with about 17 extra base hits. Albies takes it to 22 in the month of April.
Yep. I'm dying to see what May brings for us after what we did in April.
And Albies is, you know, Camargo's batting well, Swanson's doing well. I mean, these young guys are coming up and they're showing off. This rebuild is starting to pay dividends earlier than I think any of us really thought we would see.
Swanson's one I've been watching because he started off hot. He seems to be cooling off a little bit. I'm interested to see what he did. Now, his defense has been very good. The whole defensively, we've been very good. Very few errors seem to have come together there. But Swanson's one I'm watching. The other guys, you know, I think they'll be okay.
I think Swanson will be all right. You know, baseball's a streaky game. You get into a slump, you come out of it. But, I mean, he's still batting .287. Hell, if you look at our stars, from Acuna to Freeman,
Marquez,
Camargo, Albies, Suzuki, Swanson, Inciarte, that the lowest batting average we have is Inciarte, who usually is one of our top batting averages, and he's at, 276. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot to complain about as far as offense.
No,
we got some guys that are streaky.
I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with Bautista. He's in the minors. They signed him to a minor league deal.
Well, they just released Borges this weekend, an outfielder. I feel like they're making a spot for him. You know, what I've heard from I want to say Schlink, and that's the Hawks gentleman. What's his name? Anthopoulos. What I hear from him is, I mean, the plan is to bring him up. I mean, I hear, the intention is that he's going to come up and he's going to be an assistance with our offense.
Yeah, I don't think they signed him just to leave him in the minors.
No.
I think they've got a plan for him, and they're just waiting for him to, get some at-bats down in the minors, and they're going to bring him up and put him out there and see what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why not. You can, so, yeah. I mean, give him a chance. Let him do it. You know, and we're not paying him a whole lot, so
no. We'll
see what we can get out of him. But, you know, I'm just hoping that the Braves continue to make a push, stay above 500, and give us a chance to have some fun baseball at the end of the season. It's been a while since we've had any meaningful baseball, if we had a chance to make any kind of run. You know, I don't think we're a World Series team, but
I think we can
have a fun year where we're winning games and we make a push for the playoffs.
I'd like to see them, you know, at least be in the hunt for a wild card berth this year. You know, maybe that. You know, I think with what we got, if things continue the way they are, and we're going to have ups and downs, but I think we can be a better than 500 team this year. We were almost there last year. I think we're much better than we were last year. So I really think we can make the playoffs this year. And I really hope for at least being the wild card hunt there at the end of the season.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. So before we get off the Braves, real quick. So at this point in the season, over, under, or what do you give us as far as an ending record?
I would 82 would be 500, or 81 would be 500. I'd probably go with 78, 79. That's a little bit of an improvement over last year. I'd go with 79.
So you're giving us right under 500. I'm saying 85. We get above 500.
That's a stretch, but I think it's possible. I'm being a little bit more pessimistic, I guess. I'm just not sure. I don't know. The pitching is going to be the key down. The pitching is the key this year. You know, I think offensively we're going to be in the games.
Right.
But I just don't know that the pitching is going to be there for us.
Yeah.
I'm
probably being a little overly optimistic, but the way they started out the season, I have a hard time believing that they're going to fall off to under 500. I think we can stay above 500. If we make it to the All-Star break and we've still got an above 500 record, that we'll be able to push through the rest of the season and keep that somewhere around 83, 84, 85 games, right above 500.
Whatever Snitker is doing this year is working. Obviously, the Inciarte thing the other day was a, you know, I don't think anybody would see that coming, but, you know, put the pitcher batting ahead of him, put him in the nine hole, and he goes 3-for-4.
Yeah, no, he killed it. I mean, you know, they put a fire under his ass, obviously. He did not like being moved, and you could see it. He got out there, and he did what Snitker, I think, expected him to do. But, like you said, Snicker's been pushing all the right buttons this year.
Yes.
He's been making great moves. Nothing to complain about here. I've enjoyed watching it. Like I said, appointment TV for me.
I've watched several games this year. Actually, tuned into them, not just kind of searching channels and come across them, but I've actually gone to them and watched them.
Right. So speaking of another coach in Atlanta that has been pushing all the right buttons, let's jump into Atlanta United for a second. Tata Martino. He's got this team playing so well. I know I'm the big United fan here, so I'll get on my soapbox for a second. I don't know what else to say about United. They seem unbeatable at home. They haven't lost a game at home all season. The last time they did lose at home was in the playoffs last year.
Right.
You know, we got Miguel Almirón and Joseph Martinez both tied at the top of the league with 6 goals apiece. We got this Barco kid finally up. He's getting some good minutes. He hasn't scored a goal yet, but guy, I mean, you watch him and you just see the talent coming off of him. He's fast. He's quick. He's hell on the ball. He makes people miss. He's setting up scoring opportunities every time he touches the ball. We got Tito Villalba back from injury. He got to come in, check in the second half this weekend. He got 45 minutes against Montreal. It was good to see him back from injury. We've got our guys coming off the bench, like Kevin Kratz came in late in the game. I think he came in around the 70th minute late in the game, and he scores two free kicks. I mean, they're so much fun to watch. They're killing it. The fans are excited. I know we talk about this every time we're on here, but there's just not enough I can say about United. They're so much damn fun to watch right now.
The thing to me that jumps out at me is they do not look like they're only a 2 year. They've only been in existence for 2 years.
Right.
They do not look like or play like a team that's only been around for 2 years.
No, they don't. Not at all. I mean, they play well together. They mesh well. Then it's just a lot of fun. I mean, they're always out there giving it their all.
They've done a remarkable job of putting a team together, talent wise and personality wise. And they remind me, and I've been watching a little bit of hockey, the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They're an expansion team, first year expansion team, and they could win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing to watch right now.
They remind me very much of each other. Young but well put together teams, and you know, the sky's the limit for both of them.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, Atlanta at this point is the gold standard in the MLS. I mean, our fans, our stadium, our team, everything about the Atlanta United was done so well from the get-go.
Right.
They set it up. Their marketing is done so well. The fan support is amazing. You see the players all the time talking about the fan support. I think is a big reason why they come out and they play so damn well here in Atlanta. They, you know, the support is just insane with this team. I wish we had that kind of support behind some of the other teams, but I think it's going to take championships for the other teams to draw that kind of support again. It's been so long since any of our other, you know, legacy teams have. What's that?
With every game, they get better. Barco, you can see a difference in his game from the first of the.
Oh, absolutely. You know.
You know, Martinez, he's amazing. You know, if he's not up for most valuable player in the league this year. You know, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to have several guys that are competing for that spot. We're definitely going to fill up a big part of the All-Star roster this year, which will be a fun game. The All-Star game is going to be here in Atlanta against Juventus. And there's no doubt we'll have 3, 4, 5 guys on the team. It's just insane. One of the other parts to that, actually, is Tata, our coach, is going to be he's the coach of the All-Star team this year, so he gets to have more of a say-so in the players that are on the team. You know, some of it's done by fan voting, some of it's done by the coach. So he'll get to fill out the team. It'll be here in Atlanta. It'll be fun. One of the things with Atlanta United that scares me, though, is all I keep hearing about right now, it looks like there's a transfer window that's going to close today at 12 p.m. or 11:59 p.m. Midnight. They're not expecting Atlanta to do anything this transfer window. I know that we're still looking for a player to come in and replace this. We had a young guy that we let go over the offseason named Carmona. He was more of a defensive guy. So I know that we're still looking for a transfer to come in and help out there. But one of the things that they keep talking about is Miguel Almiron possibly going to Europe. And the European teams are hot on the chase for Almiron, and they're offering up a lot of money, and the United would be almost crazy not to take a deal for him. But, I can't imagine what it would be like to lose Almiron right now.
And I'm going to show my ignorance here, but I'm assuming that a transfer window is kind of like a trade deadline.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about the transfer with soccer, I guess, is it's not just the MLS. You know, this is where I think you can transfer outside with the overseas teams, the European leagues, and all that stuff too.
Right.
You know, one of the things I have heard, though, is at least for us acquiring a player, is that a lot of the other leagues are hot and heavy into the end of their season. Their seasons are a little bit different than ours, so it doesn't set up very well for us to be able to take a player away from a team overseas because of where they are in their season. They're usually not looking to get rid of players right now. So it's a little different. But this transfer window closes tonight, and I think that another one starts up in late August and runs through early July or something like that. So
okay.
There'll be another one coming up here shortly.
I knew everything was different because...
Or late July, early August. You know, sorry, I said that backwards.
Again, I'm not up on the Atlanta United. That's your specialty. You love it. I'm learning to love it. But I knew with MLS, it also included there's ties to the European leagues and all these other leagues, and people play for two teams, you know.
You got your club in your country. A lot of these guys play for the, you know, a club, then they play for their country. You've got, the World Cup coming up, so you've got everybody doing their responsibilities for their country, and it's interesting though. Soccer's the biggest sport in the world, and it's crazy that it's taken this long to catch on in the United States. But it's fun to have a hometown team and be able to start getting excited about this sport that's been around for so long. Big across the entire world that for some reason, you know. We haven't picked up so much here in the States.
I think it's coming. It's growing.
It definitely is. I mean, you've got guys like, you know, that Zlatan Ibrahimovic guy coming over here. I mean, it's starting to be a place where people from overseas are interested in coming over here.
Right.
Whereas it used to be this second-rate league where people, you know, it was the only time we got anybody was at the end of their career. It's becoming a spot where we're building up a lot of talent, like Miguel Almiron. People are trying to come into us and take our players now. It's definitely been fun. All right, so we'll go from the football to the United States football. We've got spring football. So I went to the UGA game. It was fun. Filled it out to capacity. It wasn't 93,000, but of course we had part of the stadium closed down for renovations over there in the end zone underneath the big video board and everything. So we couldn't fill it up to complete capacity, but we had about 84,000 people there. It's still the second highest in the NCAA. I think that the only team that had any bigger turnout for their spring game was Wisconsin.
Really?
It was kind of an odd one. I'm not really sure what they're so excited about up there. But
y'all beat Alabama?
Oh, yeah. Beat out every SEC team. We were only second to Wisconsin.
I don't like to say that UGA did anything good, but, hey, that's pretty cool.
Nothing good, huh?
You know me.
Let me know when you make the playoffs, all right?
Hey, I'm good with, you know.
Let me know when y'all go over 500 again.
I'm good with my team to a point.
I'm too
old to change now.
There ain't much to be happy with Georgia Tech right now, but
I will agree with that. It's been a while, and I'm as I said earlier when we were discussing, my support for Paul Johnson is starting to wane. I don't know
how it hadn't already waned. Well, y'all amaze me with the fact that y'all are still supporting that guy, that offense. I just don't understand it.
My problem with them is as you and I've discussed before many times, you know, we're not a program. I mean, I'm a lifelong fan, but our program is not the program that you're going to hire somebody and they're going to stay forever. Like a lot of programs, we're going to get some. If we get rid of Paul Johnson, we're going to get somebody that's going to be here, I think, for a few years, and want to move up to a bigger school.
Quality, right?
I would love to have another offense, but that means bringing in another coach. My biggest problem with Paul Johnson, I just don't think he puts his efforts into everything. And as I discussed with you earlier. The spring game is a perfect example. Georgia has 84,000 people. Georgia had more people on the sidelines than we had in our entire stands. And that bothers me because the spring game is such a recruiting tool.
Right.
And he just doesn't seem to get that. I have always felt we can get better people than what we have. And they've addressed that issue recently. We've got some coaches. We've hired some coaches specifically for recruiting to different areas of the country. We're spending millions of dollars on our locker room, so we are making some changes. But you know, in my estimation, is we need to do more. And I think Paul Johnson is responsible for that, and he's just one of those old crotchety guys that just doesn't, he's not going to do it. He's not going to change.
Right. And, I mean, you know, on the field, hey, y'all are good sometimes, you're really bad other times, you know, it's not, there's not much consistency there. I don't know, you know my feelings on Paul Johnson. I obviously, I hate Georgia Tech with a passion, just through, you know, through the football aspect, but it's not a bad thing for Georgia sports when Georgia Tech's competing. You know, it makes the rivalry between UGA and Georgia Tech all that more fun.
It does.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how y'all continue to give this guy extensions and let him stick around.
I was a little bit disappointed that he got an extension this year. I was really hoping with the new AD, what I know of what he's done and everything, I'm very pleased with the progress of where the program and all of Georgia Tech sports are going. But I was surprised at the extension, and I still think, extension aside, that I think he's probably got one more year. We have another bad year this year. I think he's gone. He has to.
Really? After the extension this offseason, you think they're going to get rid of him?
You know, with the new defensive coordinator, which I'm very pleased with, I think switching to a 3-4 and a more aggressive attacking defense will improve us. I do understand that they're going to make some changes as far as how they practice defense, so we're not just practicing against our offense. We've got to change that, as you and I have said. That's got to change. You can't practice against one defense and then go up against a different defense in the game and expect to be successful. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, so with your spring game, I know we talked attendance. Was there anything that you saw out from the play on the field or anything that happened there?
They didn't show much. They really didn't. It was a very vanilla game, which, again, just kind of bothers me in the fact that if you're going to at least try to attract people, give them something to watch. I mean, Georgia, you know.
Yeah, speaking from the Georgia side, I mean, there wasn't much running game to speak of, but Kirby says, you know, that was part of the plan. He was trying to show off the quarterbacks and the arms and stuff.
Exactly.
But hell, I mean, even though we tried to show them off, neither Fields or Fromm did a whole lot to look fantastic out there. Fromm had a pretty bad day. I think he threw two interceptions. He didn't look great. You know, there's a lot of the rabid Georgia fans that are out there calling for Fields to be the starter all of a sudden after.
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
You know, it's just insane to see the people's reaction to the spring game. I love the spring game. It's the first time to get out there and see a little football and be in the stadium. It was a beautiful day last Saturday when that all went down. But, I mean, you just can't walk away from the field from the spring game and start talking about quarterback controversies. It's not the right time for all that.
I can assure you that there's not going to be a quarterback controversy.
I mean, I can assure you too, but God, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that swear there will be, so.
Well, they're wrong. Kirby Smart is not going to start a freshman quarterback 2 years in a row.
3 years in a row.
3 years in a row, exactly. Jake Fromm, he earned the starting position. I don't care what Fields does in the spring game, the summer practices, he is not going to start.
Nah, I'm with
you. They may come up with some packages. Chaney, which I think is a very good offensive coordinator, he will come up with packages to get Jacob Fields in there.
Yeah. From not starting the season would be crazier than freaking Nick Saban putting a freshman out in the middle, in the halftime of the national championship game.
Well, you know, Fields is Fromm's going to have to break a leg for Fields to start a game.
I mean, you're probably right. I mean, I don't think there's any way. I think Fields sees the field. I think he gets on the field. I think he gets on the field early. I don't think it's a requirement for us to be blowing out a team. But, you know, I mean, we start the season off with Cupcake. You know, I think everybody's going to get a chance to play. There's going to be packages that Fields will get his shot.
He's going to get some playing time.
It feels, if he stands out and he he does all the right things. That he might have the chance to surpass Fromm at some point, but it certainly isn't going to happen to start the season.
No, absolutely not. There is no way.
But yeah, I mean, with the Georgia spring game, again, not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, the defense looked pretty good. There was a couple guys that made the picks. You know, that it was fun to see all the youngsters out there. A lot of our running backs were hurt, so Holyfield got most of the carries. Brian Herrien was out there. I mean, we didn't get to see Zamir White.
So who do you think, in your estimation, and you're the Georgia guy, is going to be the starting tailback?
I mean, I think DeAndre Swift. I think DeAndre Swift earned that from last year. There's no way that DeAndre Swift can't be your bell cow to start the season. I mean,
right.
Zamir White's a freshman. He's going to get his shot, but he's not going to be the guy that we lean on.
Right.
Brian Herrien is a good back. He's going to get his carries. But Swift showed you that running behind Chubb and Michelle last year, he was still one of the most explosive running backs in NCAA. I mean, he gave you everything you needed to see to say that he has the potential to be that bell cow. So I can't imagine him not getting that chance. I mean, we got Dalvin Cook's little brother. He didn't get a whole lot of play in the spring game either. But, I mean, we've got him stocked up. I think by the end, by the time we get three or four games into the season, I think we're going to see Zamir White actually be what we all expect him to be. I think DeAndre Swift's going to be in there. I think we end up with a good 1-2 punch between Zamir and DeAndre, possibly his name keeps escaping me, Dalvin Cook's brother, but I think our running back situation's probably just as good a hands as it has ever been. I'm somebody that has said that I think DeAndre Swift has the possibility to be one of the greatest backs we've seen, and that's talking about Gurley and Chubb and Moreno. You know, DeAndre Swift he's a different kind of guy. I mean, just last year, I mean, you saw Chubb, you saw Michelle, and then you saw DeAndre come in, and he's got what those guys got, and it looks like he's got a little something extra. So I'm excited to see him run this year.
Very good. Yeah, I think they're gonna be if not this year, next year, as good a running tandem as they've had since Chubb and Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and
they've all got the potential.
Chubb and Michelle ended as the best running back tandem in NCAA history, right?
And the fact that they beat the Pony Express from SMU,
right.
Craig James and Eric Dickerson.
Yep.
And I was young and watched them at the time, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
They were phenomenal. And they were on the field a lot at the same time.
Yeah, which is one thing I wish we had seen more from Sonny and Michelle. Hell, it's one thing I wish we would see more from Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman with the Falcons. But
right.
I don't know. We'll see how all that works out.
It's going to be interesting.
Speaking of Chubb and Michelle.
Right.
Michelle going to the Patriots. What's the deal, man? Georgia, so we got Roquan Smith. He goes to Chicago. They've got a history of big, badass linebackers. I think Roquan's going to fit up in Chicago really well. Of course,
I don't think that he could have gone to a better spot.
Right.
I mean,
no, I was excited for Roquan.
They have a history
of good,
fine linebackers, so you know, I think he's done well.
I thought he was going to be a top 10 pick. He ended up being number 8, which was exciting to see.
Yeah.
I think.
Well.
Let's see, who else did Georgia? So we had three guys in the first round. We had Isaiah Wynn. Of course, he's New England too. New England has some kind of obsession with Georgia players this year, and they picked up two in the first round: Isaiah Wynn, Sonny Michel, and then they took.
It's all Belichick.
And then they took our nose tackle John Atkins in, undrafted free agency.
Yeah.
So they picked up three of our guys this year.
You know, Belichick spent, from what I understand, from what I've heard on sports talk, he spent almost the entire day at Georgia's pro day.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation back during the pro day of the Patriots spending a whole lot of time down there with our guys.
And it'll be interesting to see if Isaiah Wynn starts this year, because you could have Wynn, you could have two Georgia guys and a Tech guy on the
Patriots
front line.
With the condition of the Patriots offensive line, that they need it. That, you know, unless he doesn't prove himself in OTAs and minicamp, I would imagine he's going to be starting. That, you know, he might be one that they roll into the guard spot and let him get some play as a guard before he goes back out to tackle. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine him not getting a starting role to start the season. You know, Sony, I'm happy for the guys. Obviously, I can't stand New England, and it made me sick to see my guys go up there. But, you know, Sony, it bothers me a little bit with Sony. I wanted Sony to go somewhere where he was going to get featured. He was going to be... I wanted Sony to be a feature back somewhere where he was going to get that chance. And New England is just not that team. They don't use feature backs. They've still got they let go of Deion Lewis, but they still got James White. They picked up the guy out of Cincinnati. Got Jeremy Hill.
Right.
They've got several guys on the team that I just don't see Sony going up there and getting the touches and getting the opportunity to be what he could be in any of the other teams. So I kind of hate it for Sony. Nick Chubb, I think he gets the opportunity to go be the man, go be the hero.
Right.
He goes up to Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. It's a young team. They've got all the talent in the freaking world from the past two drafts. So they should be a hell of a football team. You say that, and then you see that it's Cleveland, and you realize that they probably won't be. But, I mean, you know, Nick Chubb's going to get the ability to be that feature back, where Sony, even though he went before him, I don't think we're going to get to see him, I don't know, do the things that he's capable of doing.
I did hear yesterday that a lot of New England fans were not happy with the selection of Sony Michel. They were tickled to death with the Isaiah Wynn, but Sony Michel, and you know how New England fans are, you know, they're never happy, but they weren't happy with the Sony Michel draft pick.
Really?
You know, which doesn't make sense. I mean, if you watched or knew anything about Sony Michel, you know he's going to be a marvelous back.
The one thing they keep talking about Sony, though, I guess during his physicals and stuff, he's got some bone-on-bone stuff in his knees, and so people are concerned about how long the longevity of his knees and stuff. So, I mean, maybe him going into a situation where he won't be a feature back, and he's going to have more of a role, will be good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We had, Lorenzo Carter go to the Giants. Javon Wims was a late 7th-round pick. He went to Chicago as well, so he joins Roquan up there in Chicago. So we had two teams take two of our guys. Of course, the Falcons were nowhere near any of them, which is pretty usual. But, yeah, I mean, it was a good draft for Georgia.
I thought it was a great draft. I was very, being the Tech fan that I am, but I was very pleased to see that they, did something.
I know you wanted to take a stab at Trenton Thompson.
Well, I just thought it was a very interesting side note that I did hear that Trenton Thompson was the very first number one high school recruit not to be drafted in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I had not heard that until you told me that, which is pretty interesting, though. I mean, with...
It is, but he did not have a great career at Georgia. He was very up and down. After that game, that bowl game against TCU, where he was so outstanding, he had those several months where he had that mysterious illness, kind of disappeared for a while. Nobody really knows to this day what went on.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff with Trent.
never the same. So
no, I agree.
You know, maybe he can get. Maybe did he get picked up a free agent contract with anybody?
No, I. You know what? I have not seen what has happened with Trenton Thompson yet. Besides him not getting drafted, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. He wasn't spectacular, but I expected him to go within the seven rounds of the. So it looks like Trenton Thompson at least is undrafted free agent, signed with Cleveland. So he'll join Chubb up there in Cleveland.
I think that'll be, you know, I hope Cleveland turns it around. I hate to see people.
Yeah, Cleveland's one of those teams where, you know, I mean, I think it would be good for football to see Cleveland, you know, do something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've been around for so long. Their fans deserve it.
I was very pleased with their draft choices. I thought they did
well. You know, I mean...
I didn't see a grade on their draft.
I feel like they did really well. It's probably me being a Mayfield hater, but I couldn't... But, you know, they had the first and fourth overall pick. There's no way... You can't convince me that Baker Mayfield would have been picked up by any of the other three teams or two teams between Cleveland and Cleveland at four.
Right.
You know that I think they screwed that so badly. They could have had Saquon Barkley first and still gotten Mayfield fourth.
Exactly.
I don't really understand their desire to pay Mayfield number one overall money, give him. I don't know. He's just such a cocky bastard to begin with. I don't see him being an NFL star. I see Johnny Manziel written all over him. And I'm sure he'll prove me wrong here.
I was just thinking the same thing. You know, I think he's going to be... I don't know. I hope he's not a bust, but I just don't think he's...
I don't necessarily think that it's his talent or his skill set that's not NFL ready. I think it's his mentality that's not NFL ready. I don't think the kid is going to, especially being in Cleveland where they could have some really hard times. I mean, they might come out and be world beaters this year, but most likely they won't. They didn't win a damn game last year. You know, all the talent that they have, they still went 0-16. Well, if they start out 0-4, 0-5, I don't think Baker Mayfield has the personality traits that he's going to handle that well. I think he's going to be a crybaby. He's going to be a problem in the locker room when they start to see adversity. I think if he goes out there and starts winning games, then he's going to be, you know, golden. A lot like, not necessarily Johnny Manziel, but I think you could say the same thing for Robert Griffin III. You know, when he was winning, he was great. But when they started to have problems, you heard about all these issues in the locker room. The guys didn't like him. He was always out in front of the media, giving his own spin on the stories. You had the coach talking to the media one day, and then Robert Griffin out there talking to the media another day in a totally, you know, unscheduled media interview. I just see that kind of crap going on with Mayfield. Let Mayfield run down the sideline in the NFL game grabbing his crotch and see what happens. You know what I mean? somebody will take his head off.
I agree. Somebody on the other team will, like you say, take his head off. And I think he's going to be a target anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely will be. It's talking to target. I heard with the Josh Allen thing, somebody saying that he was going to have to address his comments in the locker room and that it was going to be a problem. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of split on that. I mean, I get being a young kid and saying some dumb stuff, and I can't imagine me growing up with social media. Like, you know, when you're 12, 13, 14, social media can be such a problem. You know, it's going to come back and haunt you. I'm glad it wasn't there when I was that age, because I probably would have gotten my ass in a whole lot of trouble.
I agree with that.
But, you know, I think he definitely needs to address it. I can't imagine that it really becomes something that other players are going to spend too much time on unless he starts to act that way now.
Right. Well, I reiterate, I hope the Cleveland Browns, I was good, okay with their draft picks. I hope that management can turn it around. Certainly they deserve that after going 0-16. And as you said, I question their draft picks. Baker Mayfield was not a number one pick. And nobody really, I don't think any of the draft experts thought that that was going to happen. I mean, they were talking Darnold and Allen and
yeah.
a couple of the others as going first round, you know, and Cleveland comes out and picks Mayfield. Like you say, he would have been there at 4 or 5 or at 4 when they,
yeah, absolutely. Him.
They could have gotten Barkley, and I think that would have been a better pick, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well, definitely. I mean, that the first round was, the draft was interesting this year. I mean, there were some teams that really stocked up. That had Denver scares the shit out of me with Bradley Chubb now next to
Von Miller.
Yeah. Von Miller, yeah. You know, in our own division, Tampa Bay gets Vita Vey. Yeah. That's no good, and especially with him right next to Gerald McCoy. You know, the Panthers, I wasn't real high on the Panthers pick. You know, they end up taking DJ Moore, wide receiver, 2 picks before us, and I guess they saw something in DJ Moore that they liked better than Calvin Ridley, but I can't imagine what. So I was kind of happy that they went DJ Moore and not Calvin Ridley. That gave us the opportunity to take him. And I mean, I had heard that we would take Calvin Ridley. I wasn't real excited about taking another wide receiver in the first round when we have Julio and Sanu. But based on, I guess, the guys that were taken ahead of us and kind of missing out on some of the big names that we probably would have gone for if they were there, I think the Falcons did the right thing. They took the best talent on the board at that time, and it may not have been a position of need, but hell, it's going to make us an offense that's going to be almost impossible to stop, at least in my estimation.
It is going to be very, very, I think, high scoring. If they can figure a way to get Ridley in the game with the other two, I think it's going to be great for Matt Ryan's year and his career.
Yeah, no, I can't deny that. I think it's, I mean, Matt Ryan had to have been a happy guy sitting there watching the draft, seeing Calvin Ridley come to have just one more weapon out there that is a burner, too. And that's one thing that Sanu is missing. Sanu, as good as he is, and I love Sanu, he is not a speedy guy.
No, he's not. But we knew that when we got him. I mean, you know. As far as the Falcons' overall draft, when I first heard about it or heard and saw what they got through all 6 or 7 rounds, I wasn't real pleased. But then when you sit down and look at who they got and who they are, I think it was a really good draft.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know much about the running back or the wide receiver we took late. But, I mean, we went and got a defensive tackle in the 3rd round, which we needed. We got a couple cornerbacks, you know, which we can definitely use help with.
We got in the second round is supposed to be very
good. Yeah, the cornerback we got in the second round is...
Yeah, and I do not remember...
Isaiah Oliver out of Colorado.
Right. He's exactly... fits the Dan Quinn mold of what he's looking for.
That's the thing. That Dan Quinn has proven through the first... What is it? This is his 3rd draft or his 4th?
3rd or
4th. Yeah, he's proven through the first couple that... he's a defensive evaluator. He knows how to pick them. He knows what guys he wants. He knows what's going to fit in his system. So I think that's why I wasn't upset. Like, we went and got an offensive guy in the first round, but we got a guy that consensus says that he's going to be an offensive star. There's no real question about Calvin Ridley. I mean, could he be a bust? I'm sure. But most likely, Calvin Ridley is going to be a solid wide receiver. So you give Quinn the opportunity to use his talent evaluation and to go get guys at a cheaper price that we need that are going to be here for a while, just like he's done with Deion Jones and Keanu Neal was a first round pick, but we've got Brian Poole, who was an unsigned, you know, a rookie free agent. We got Deion Jones, who we got in the 2nd or 3rd round. Devondre Campbell, who was a mid-round pick. you know, so he's proven that he knows where to how to get the talent that he wants, and it doesn't have to be a first round pick for them to come in and work out and be a starter for our defense.
Well, I would just a little side note. I was mentioning the running back we got late in the fourth or fifth round. First name's Ego.
Yeah.
He got his nick. He got his name or nickname, I guess it is. When he was born, he looked like the Judge Ito from the running back, the big murder trial running back, U.S.
Simpson. Are you talking about Simpson? OJ?
Yes. Judge Ito, the little Oriental judge. Apparently, when this kid was born, he looked like Judge Ito from the Nickname.
I have not heard that.
I could not remember O.J. Simpson's name. Saved my life.
Interesting. Well, we just hit the hour mark. We're going to go ahead and call this one, but we're going to, we'll try not take such a big break, and we'll try and get back with y'all by the end of the week, sometime through the weekend, and see where we stand. Let's see, where are we? We're May 1st now, so... I mean, it's all coming together. Football's not far off. We'll be in mini camps and all of that soon. And
yep. We got OTAs coming up for the Falcons here fairly shortly. So we'll see what be interesting to see when the draft picks get in there and see once they get them signed and everything. So got a lot to look forward to. Got the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, and the Braves. Hope they keep going.
We'll talk a little more NBA once we start seeing what the finals are going to look like, and keep an eye on the Braves and United. They keep us busy during the off season until football gets here. So, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, that's a good clean old fashioned hate, and we'll see you soon.
See you later.